Tom McCarthy, thank you so much for joining me on this segment of a Regenerative Medicine Summit. I'm so excited what we're going to chat about today.
Yeah, and I'm excited too, Michael. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I know you are a leader in the field when it comes to, I mean, you train CEO executives and mindset and how to position yourself in order to create the reality that you want. And I couldn't really think in regards to regenerative medicine. I mean, your mind and what you think and what you create around you is so directly tied into your health.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's the thing. We can go to a great doctor like you and get the greatest care, but if we're creating stress and turmoil inside with the way we think, then it's hard to heal. And I think a lot of people are stuck in that conundrum. And I've been stuck in that conundrum before, where I was like, hey, why? Like in 2015, I got a virus and it didn't get better. And then I got chronic fatigue and I was trying every great treatment, every great doctor, alternative medicine, functional medicine. And it was helpful, but it couldn't get me all the way over the finish line because inside I was stressing, right? I had been traveling, I wasn't sleeping well, and I really had to shift my mind in order to kick my healing over the finish line. And I think that's probably true with a lot of people.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, you are such a you maximize your time so efficiently, but then at the same time, when you do that, you don't recognize the components within your brain that you need to kind of clear out and get rid of that stress and reprogram your limbic system, that survival mechanism.
Yeah.
That really impacts your immune system, your energy, and obviously that bleeds over into so many different things when it comes into your health.
Yeah. And I was really running on, I want to just call it adrenaline. That's kind of a common term, but when you talk about the limbic system and fight or flight, I was traveling all over the world. I had so many different things going on. And I just did not let my mind settle or relax. And I wasn't feeling great emotions. Like I wasn't feeling lots of joy in my work, right? And I had to learn the lesson. When you are going at something, but it where it's, out of fear and get out of danger, make sure you get this done, right? Not any physical danger, but just danger of not letting somebody down, right? And once I figured that out, that's when I really was able to heal. And the Breakthrough Code is not written specifically about that, my new book that just came out, but we have used it for a lot of people in helping them heal. But it's also for finances, relationships, anything. Any area you want a breakthrough, I believe you can create a breakthrough. And it's not just all mind, but the mind is a big part of it. You do have to take actions too.
Exactly. And then that the same principles bleeds over into so many different areas. But I want people to get to know you a little bit. So I'm going to read your intro so people can see, the amazingness that you bring. Tom McCarthy is a husband, father, author, speaker, entrepreneur, investor whose own businesses in the training, software, financial services, and restaurant industries. Some of his clients include some of the world's leading companies such as Cisco Systems, Microsoft, Salesforce, Wells Fargo, and MetLife. His latest book, The Breakthrough Code, details his three-step system for creating a breakthrough in any area of your life. After the death of his father, when Tom was 3 years old, he struggled for years with fears and anxieties and constant physical maladies. After exhausting traditional medicine, not finding answers, he's eventually turned to energy medicine. It was then he was able to see the true mind-body connection that was causing these chronic illnesses. Over the years, Tom has met many wise and caring healers that have helped him lead a healthy and energetic life. Unfortunately, much of the world is still not aware of energy medicine and its ability to help ease the pain of many chronic illnesses. Tom is on a mission to change that, which is why he's hosting the new 2022 Global Energy Healing Summit, along with his good friend and partner, Master Chunyi Lin. So, yeah. Did I say that right?
You did. You did. Yeah, Chunyi Lin.
Chunyi Lin. Okay. Yeah. Good. Yeah, see, that's the thing, is that we can do all the physical things right, you know, and like you mentioned, but if we don't recognize the power of the mind and kind of the stories that go in the back of your head that keeps isn't that kind of subconscious that keeps creating our reality, you know, and that relates to both disease, that relates to our financial success. And then also, you know, how our cells are regenerating.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, I remember years ago when I was working, Tony Robbins is a good friend of mine. I used to work with him in his company, running all sales and marketing. And one of the things he introduced me to years ago was alkalinity, right? And they would test your blood or you know, they would test to see if you were more acidic or alkaline. And they would, you know, have all sorts of great recipes that would make you supposedly more alkaline, and things you would drink and mixes. But if your thoughts were stressful thoughts, it didn't matter what you ate, right? You're going to be more acidic. And so I was like, wow, that's pretty interesting. I still believe in diet. I eat a very, very healthy diet. But at the same time, I'm a huge believer in the power of mind and healing, and I know you are too. And when we talk about great healers, I'm honored to be on with you because you are an amazing healer.
Well, thank you, and likewise. I mean, we're healers in all different areas. So, what is it? I mean, you wrote the book, The Breakthrough Code, and I love that book. I've actually given it to my oldest. Yeah, you know, he's 20. He's turning 22, mm-hmm. And he's it's kind of in that time of life. I mean, I think we're always in that time of life when we need a breakthrough code. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about, you know, because this is a lot of this is your part of that is real life. You know, it's part of that is kind of your real stories that are intertwined into it.
Yeah, there's a lot of observations and parts of my life that are in there. I did put my heart and soul into this book. It took me 3 years to actually write it and finish it and have it published. So, but it's not an autobiography, and it's not a nonfiction. It's actually fiction. It's a parable of this person going through life and trying to figure things out, and things aren't working the way that, you know, they thought it should work. And so these mentors, this diverse group of mentors, comes to this young person and teaches them the breakthrough code. And the breakthrough code really is something that I've noticed in pretty much every human being that's done something substantial in their life, whether they knew they were using the breakthrough code or not, because I didn't invent it. I just saw it in other human beings. They were using it. And so what I try to do with this book is make it enjoyable to learn how to create a shift in your life. And what I really am focused on teaching people is how do you shift reality? Because every day we wake up, and the most likely things that are going to happen in that day are right in front of you. And most people just enter into that and they go about their day with the things that they think are supposed to happen. But they're only supposed to happen because their patterns have led you to this day where these things are in line for you to happen. But what if those things aren't good for you? Do you still just have to go through those things, this kind of set patterns of things that are going to happen in the day? I don't think you do. I think we can shift reality to maybe some things that are less likely to happen based on the path that we're on, but that if we shift reality, we can make happen. And that's what I really want to share with people. I love it when people shift reality. And one of the things that, one of the quotes I even have in the book is that the average person will just conform to reality. Great person will create a whole new reality. And one of the things that I also have in the book is that you're under no obligation to be the exact same person you were 5 minutes ago. We can shift, we can change. You look at the president of the Ukraine, he shifted reality. You know, they got attacked by a much bigger country, much bigger army. The odds were not in their favor. He probably could have and maybe should have, would have been easier for him, say, all right, I'm out of here. We surrender. But he didn't do that. He said, no, we're going to win this thing. It made no sense to most people, but he said, we're going to win this thing. And he got not the whole world, but many of the countries in the world came to his aid. Why? Because he stood up and he had a thought in his mind that we can win it, that he went out to the whole world with. And he said, we need your help. And the world responded. But he had the courage to do that. And shifting reality is something we all can do. Maybe not on a grand scale like that. We don't need to. But we can all shift reality in our own lives and have a much more enjoyable, happier, fulfilling, prosperous, healthier life.
Yeah, and I love kind of doing these examples that exist in kind of the physical life where we can then see them. We shift the reality, we shift our mindset, and then we see in a result, you know, that exists around us that we can see and tangibly touch, just to prove that this is possible and doable. So if you then translate that exact type of principles to your physical beings, you know, like if you're mm-hmm. dealing with cancer, or if you just want more energy, or if you just want to, you know, feel more vital and anti-aging and keep your cells running at a smoother and more vital level, I mean, if the same principles would apply.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's not like you're ever going to be done with it, right? You know, because new things are happening all the time. This is a habit. First, you make your habits, then your habits make you. 95% of our life is run by our habits. So it's not just every now and then, you know, every 5 years we work on our mindset. I think it's every day. We want to be running the right programs that create health, that create vitality, create happiness, joy, prosperity. I remember one of the first times that I didn't even really know what I was doing. I was in my 20s. But I was out in Palm Desert, and I decided I was going to climb one of the mountains, right? They're beautiful mountains. So I climbed this mountain, and coming down, I'm feeling full of life. And so I'm coming down by jumping from rock to rock to rock. And I was having so much fun. And I jumped on this one rock, and I hit it wrong. And my right ankle, which I've always had problems with, I almost had my foot come off one time playing basketball, but I landed right on my right ankle, and my right ankle twisted that same way. And the first thought in my head was like, well, first of all, I was still up on the mountain. Like, all right, how the heck am I going to get down from here and get back? And then I said, no, stop. Don't let that thought come in. And I got that thought out of my head. And literally I looked down at my ankle, and it was starting to hurt, but immediately I just put my hands down there, and I just saw the ankle as healthy and whole and happy, and almost like what happened, which did happen, never even happened. I did not allow it in my mind, and it for about 10 minutes, and gradually the pain just shifted. It went away, never swelled up, which I've had tons of as an athlete. Like, you know, I've had prior to that lots of ankle turns less than what I did there, swollen up big where I couldn't even walk, didn't swell up, and I just walked back, and that was the end of it. And then I've got, you know, so many more experiences of that where you can truly use your mind. Now, with something chronic that's been there for a while, that was very acute. And it wasn't like my leg was, you know, cut in half, right? I just had a sprained ankle. So I was able to work on that and get a quicker result. With something chronic, there's been patterns that have been building up for a long time. And it's very helpful, obviously, to get treatments from great doctors that know what they're doing. They're doing supportive treatments. But you got to do the inside work. You're not a science project. The doctors can support you, they can help you, and they also help you with your thoughts, right? I know, Michael, you know, you're helping your patients with that optimism and the belief that they can heal. But at the end of the day, the body will heal itself. Even if it's being treated with other medicines, it's still the medicines are using the body, or not medicines, but herbal remedies and things that you use. At the end of the day, the body will heal if it's in the right mental environment, much more likely to heal.
Yeah, and you have the studies that's a psychoneuroimmunology, where you have your mind and how that connects to the nervous function, the neurotransmitters that are produced, and also they see on your immune cells, you have these receptors of these neurotransmitters, like for dopamine, serotonin. Mm-hmm. So how you feel, how you view the world is then impacting these immune cells that then physically are the ones that go to control inflammation and to control regeneration. And then if you talk about anti-aging, we're talking about like inflammaging, yeah, where the inflammation is triggering the aging, and that relates to the immune system function. So we know then that how we think and feel that impacts how quickly we age, just through the interaction through the immune system and the receptor sites that exist there. So, I mean, yeah. It's physically studied, and yeah, you know, so we know that it works. I mean, it's such an important part.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. My son, when he was graduated from Harvard, he was a basketball player, and then he had an extra year because he had an injury during his junior year. So he played a year of basketball at Rice. So he's a basketball player. And he came to Rice, and his hip was hurting and his knee was hurting him. And they're doing all sorts of treatments. It's not getting better. And then one practice, his back went out. And, you know, he couldn't even walk. So 22-year-old kid, back goes out, you know, he can't walk. They take him in. The orthopedic surgeons had him do an MRI. They said he had the largest herniated disc in a young guy that age that they'd ever seen. And so they said, you know, we got to bring you in, and, you know, we'll shoot you up with cortisone, steroids, whatever it was. They put him under, did that. He got out, felt a little bit better, and then his back went out again. So that treatment didn't work. And they're like, all right, you got to come back and we'll do it again. But one of the things I told him about was, you know, and he was just doing what the trainer told him at first. But I said, you know, a lot of pain is mind-body pain. And there's a guy I'm sure you know of, Dr. John Sarno, who was a pain doctor and MD, passed away a couple years ago in his mid-90s. But he wrote a book called The Mind-Body Prescription, and wrote a book called Healing Back Pain. Literally, all my son did was he listened to The Mind-Body Prescription in his apartment, at first in unbearable pain, but he just listened to that book. And literally by listening to it, where he uncovered that he was repressing emotions, like trying to be a perfectionist and trying to make everybody happy and having some anger. He didn't feel angry, but he was repressing it. And once he understood that his mind was creating this pain, he did have a herniated disc, but that's not why he was in pain. Sarno even said patients would come to him with x-rays and they would have pretty good spine, like nothing really wrong, and they can't even walk. And then someone with a herniated disc would come in and they had no pain. My son's pain went away and has not returned since. Also, at that time, he was struggling kind of to clear up some acne on his face, was eating as clean as he could, doing everything, wasn't working. And literally, once he understood the connection between the mind and the body, not only did the pain go away in his back, never returned, that was 3 years ago, but his skin cleared up. So there's so many cool things that you can do with your mind when you truly understand and when you're really committed to it. It's not dabbling at it like, you know, my back feels great. You do it one time and done. Why did it not work, right? It's reprogramming your mind. Everything's created twice. First inside, and then it appears on the outside. But you got to do that internal work.
I mean, it's just like, you know, eating, exercising. Wow. I mean, you don't do it once and think that you're forever going to be changed. it's a consistent effort, and every moment decides, you know, what the next moment is going to look like. You know, so we're continually creating reality by the daily habits we do again and again and again.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So what are for people that are wanting, I mean, here you've taught the best of the best. I mean, you know, pro athletes, you know, top executives and the top companies in the world. You know, you led Tony Robbins marketing and sales, and so you've been exposed to all these different principles that exist and that people have talked about. You know, so if you could distill to an individual what are some of the basic principles that they should incorporate and what that should look like in order to be able to have that regenerative mindset.
Yeah. Well, I'll go through the three big ideas in the book, but before I do that, I want to say just one point. When somebody has an illness, the worst thing to do, I believe, is to go to the internet and search for that illness and see, okay, here's what's supposed to happen to me along the journey. I mean, you know, sometimes it might be fine, like, oh, you're going to get over it in a day. Okay, that's cool. But when you've got kind of a something scary or something that is going to take some work, don't go to the internet and just do an average search, because you're going to find all the average beliefs, all the average thoughts, all the, you know, kind of run of the mill things are going to happen, and it's going to be average. Like, but you're not average. You don't have to be average. Even when I got chronic fatigue, people were saying, I never looked up all the symptoms and things like that, but people were saying, oh man, you know, you could have this the rest of your life. I'm like, no, that's not going to happen for me. And so what I did was I did go to the internet, but I'm like, all right, who had it and who got over it really quickly? And because that's what I want to study. I want to study the people that had something like me, similar situation, but they got over it, and they got over it and lived this great life afterwards. And that might be small percentage of the people, depending on, you may have some disease where it's only 1%. But why not you be in that 1%? Maybe 0.5%. Why not you be in that 0.5%? Figure out what other human beings did that got a great result, and then start to model them. And I found a guy over in the UK that got over it very quickly. And he basically taught me that a lot of it was based upon your mind and the way your mind was perceiving things. And if it was always in fight or flight, it didn't matter, you know, if you're doing, you know, an ozone treatment or whatever else it was, you're going to wake up tired because you're constantly just battling inside or trying to avoid a battle inside. So look for people that are successful and model them. Don't look out at the average person and go, okay, that's what I can expect. I've never done that in my life that I can remember, you know, in anything, because my dad died when I was really young. So my life got shaken up dramatically at an early age, where I always had to be a little bit unconventional. So be unconventional. And then the big ideas, big idea number one is focus on less and then obsess. So in the Breakthrough Code, if you want to heal, you've got to really put some focus into it. Now, obsess is a little bit of a misnomer, because I don't want you consciously obsessing. That's going to make you worry. I want you programming your superconscious or subconscious, which can process 40 million bits of information per second. Conscious mind's only 40 bits of information per second. So you've got two minds. And when you're able to go down and program the superconscious, I call it superconscious, most people call it subconscious, that superconscious will start working. It'll start doing things without you having to consciously think about it all the time. Now, you use your conscious mind in the morning to program the superconscious, maybe in the evening before you go to bed, maybe a time or day, you know, a time or two during the day with some meditation or some self-hypnosis. But the conscious mind should be used for programming the superconscious, and then let the superconscious find a Dr. Michael for you, right? And it will. It'll find the right people, the right books, the right resources, the right person to listen to on a summit. When the superconscious knows what you want, it's like a laser. It'll figure out how to get to how to get you the resources that you need. So I'll stop there, but that's the first big idea. And then there's two other big ideas.
So yeah, because whenever we focus like that, and like you're mentioning, I mean, we think that if we have it in our mind and we think about it continually, that that is where the most power exists. And I love how you do the supraconscious, yeah, because it is, yeah, it is above our consciousness. It's not subconscious, not below. It is something it's acting, you know, beyond continually. And like you're mentioning, it's a million times stronger than our regular consciousness. So why wouldn't we want to activate that? So when you say, you know, focus on less and obsess, so, you know, what should we focus on? I mean, what are, because there's so many things that goes on in life and maybe we're wanting to achieve so many different things. And, you know, so what should be the focus? I mean, what should we pick?
Yeah. Well, if you want to create a breakthrough, you have to limit what you focus on. So because if we spread ourselves too thin, which is what a lot of people do, then there's not enough energy to get you unstuck in an area. To get unstuck, like if you were, if you had something heavy on your foot, you're not going to take one hand and try and lift the rock, and the other hand you're reading a book, right? You're going to take all your energy and you're going to lift that rock off your foot. And so with the mind, if we're trying to focus on 50 different things we want to have happen that are all really important to us, then we get diluted down. It's almost like the difference between a light bulb and a laser. A light bulb is light. A laser is light. But what's the difference? Lasers focus light. It can cut through a diamond. A light bulb can. It can kind of light things up. So you need to be laser-like with your mind. You need to really tell it, and I say no more than three big results that you want at any point in time, like where you're really going for something big. Like if you have an illness and you're trying to heal, that should be one of your three. And maybe it's your only one, right? And then it's not to say you're not doing anything else, but you're programming yourself for this result in the morning. You're programming it in the evening. You're using a habit like one of the ones I have in the book is see, feel, believe, and let go. How can you program the superconscious? Not by just doing an affirmation like I'm healthy, I'm healthy, I'm healthy. Your superconscious mind is going to be like, that means nothing. But if you see yourself out there running and vibrant and healthy and strong and happy and enjoying yourself, the mind, and you really feel it, even though you might be in pain and maybe a doctor didn't give you a very good prognosis, you've got to carve in this. And it's totally make-believe, right? You're totally using your imagination. But when you see it and you feel it and you believe it, the mind will start creating it. The challenge is most people never get to that point because they can only see, feel, and believe things that are already created. You've got to be the creator. You are the creator. And so inside, have the courage. You might not be that good at it in the beginning. Keep going. Seeing it, feeling it, believing it, and then let it go, right? Once you see it, feel, and believe it for a minute or two, let it go. The mind now has the marching orders, the superconscious mind does.
And when you're seeing it, feeling it, it needs to be kind of bring in these strong emotions. So the stronger the emotion is, and also if you kind of bring in some physical movement as you are, you know, that's kind of reinforcing it and making it stronger, because it's really tying it then together with, you know, like oxytocin and all these other hormones and making it even stronger, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. No, using the hands is absolutely a way to supercharge your thoughts. So if you're seeing yourself like happy and healthy, like, you know, like bringing it in and just literally, I mean, it can look silly. I'm not saying do it in front of, you know, a bunch of people, but just energize yourself. And then the mind can't help but to follow the orders you're giving it.
Yeah. I listened to you one time. You were talking about the first time when you went to a Tony Robbins event, Yeah, when you drove across the country, I think, just to get to
Yeah,
one of
yeah.
those events, and seeing all the craziness that we're doing, and first you
Yeah.
think that's kind of odd, but it plays an important role in anchoring that thought and the creation of that thought.
Yeah. And the other thing to think about too, everything is energy. Everything is energy. You are energy. And so when we're shifting energy in the body, like when we're using our body to create energy and bring in more energy, healthier energy into the body, the gestures and things like that amplify the thoughts in a very powerful way.
Yeah, I love it. And so so that is then, focus on less and then obsess and then let it go. And so what was the other kind of other big idea that you feel is really important for people as they are creating this reality that's not average?
Yeah. So big idea number two, there's three big ideas. So focus, getting focused, focusing in, not just dabbling at it, but getting focused and starting to carve that with your imagination, that new picture, that new feeling in your mind. That's the first thing. The second thing you got to do, I say, is upgrade your story to upgrade your life. Now, when we get a phone, new software comes out, or even a new phone, like we're going to get the new phone, we're going to get the new software. A lot of people are running old software in their mind. They're running their parents' software, their parents' belief systems that they picked up when they were, their conscious mind wasn't fully developed between ages 0 to 7. They picked up a lot of their parents' stuff, stresses and belief systems about what's not possible and all these different things. And so we can change our story. You have a story inside of you of who you are, what you're capable of, what life means. I have one inside of me. Everyone has one inside of them. And at the end of the day, we only perform up to our story. So if we're carrying the same story around, but wanting something more, we're going to get stuck. You've got to let go of your old baggage. And that's something a lot of people understand. They go, I'm just going to think positive. Well, if you think positive, but your mind is already holding on to a bunch of crap. I can't put anything else in my hand here. I've got to let go of that, free it up to clear up space. Otherwise, I'm putting a positive intention or thought or belief on a crappy foundation. And so what are the belief systems that you need to get rid of and let go of? And there's ways to do that. We talk about some ways in the book to do that. And then after you've done that, like, what is a new belief system that you could have that you don't have now, but that if you did have, it would allow you to function at a higher level. It would actually allow your cells to respond even differently. What are new thoughts you can think? And so upgrading your story is one of the most critical pieces for success in anything. And it doesn't matter who you were 5 minutes ago. You could have been someone that was unhealthy, stressed out, didn't like to eat, good, nutritious food. That was 5 minutes ago. You don't have to continue bringing that through the rest of your life. You can let it go and you can start living your life the way you want. Now, I'm not saying it's easy because you've got those patterns pretty ingrained. It's going to take some work, going to take some effort, but it's going to be so worth it. And then the third big idea is pack your day with effective action. So we focused in on the results we want. We've upgraded our story. We see things differently. We're seeing things we never even noticed before. We're noticing, new information that I never would have noticed with my old story. People are showing up in my life that weren't there before with my old story. My son, another little story about him, I told him to program his mind to always be in the right place at the right time. And you've heard this story, but, he was raising money for a big investment, like a $1 billion investment that he was working with his team on making. And they needed a few $100 million more. I said, program your mind. You're always in the right place at the right time. And literally, he calls me about 6 days later. He goes, Dad, you never believe what happened. You go, what? He goes, I'm walking down the street. He was in West Hollywood. And this guy comes jogging, he's jogging opposite direction. Guy stops right in front of him. I said, why'd he stop? And my son said, I don't know. And the guy didn't even know. The guy told him, he told my son, he said, I don't know why I'm stopping. but something tells me I need to talk with you. And my son's like a little freaked out. And I go, how old was the guy? He goes, Dad, he's old. He's like your age. And the guy asked him, asked my son, what do you do? And my son said, well, I'm an investor. And my son's, 26 years old. And the guy said, I'm an investor too. And they chatted for a minute. They didn't go super deep, but he said, look, I don't know why I stopped. I live in Beverly Hills. I don't even usually run down this way, but if there's a reason we should talk, here's my information. My son goes back and looks him up. The guy's a billionaire. He's also the managing director and founder of a $4 billion private equity fund. My son called him up and said, I think there may be something we can talk about. And so two meetings later, the guy ends up committing $100 million to that deal. Not only that, he brought another guy in that committed $100 million to it off a chance meeting on a sidewalk. Now, in my son's mind, because he's a huge believer in the mind, it was not a chance meeting. He had programmed his mind to be in the right place at the right time. He created that. And I think that's what happens when we create the right story in our mind. Our actions are already more effective. Like that little walk he took was incredibly effective because he had programmed his mind and his mind said, hey, go take a walk. I mean, I don't even, know how he decided to take a walk at that time of day, but literally created that opportunity for him. And I think these happen because the mind is not stuck in our body. I don't believe it is. Like you said, it's above the conscious mind. A lot of people think the mind is just the brain. But I believe your mind is, I think your body probably lives in your mind, right? Because the mind extends out. It's energetic. It's got, when we think a thought, energy follows thought. Like every thought you think, oh man, I'll never get over this illness. Energy is now following that thought and keeping you stuck. So effective action, though, is just this concept of effort. I'm not saying you've got to work harder. You're going to put some effort in, but if you make it more effective, effort times effectiveness, that equals results. How do you heal quicker? You're still going to put some effort in, but if you create more effectiveness with your mind and using regenerative treatments like what you help people with, Michael, you get 10x results versus someone else putting in the same amount of effort, but not doing any of the things you're doing.
Yeah. And they've actually seen, I mean, when they've done measurements, you check in this kind of the field of an individual and mm-hmm. they see changes in that field way before it happens within the brain. So it shows very that the brain is a secondary component. It's not a primary.
Yeah.
And like you mentioned, I mean, it's, this super consciousness, I mean, like 40 million, activities at the same time, which means that it's able to calculate and guide you in ways that you would not be able to even conceive consciously. For him to exist at that same time, so his super consciousness connected with this other guy's super consciousness, and they found a resonance there, where that they could work together in order to be able to, create the reality that they both were in line with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you said something earlier too, I thought was really cool. You said the super conscious is above the conscious. Because a lot of people, that's why I don't like the word subconscious or even unconscious, right? Unconscious is almost like you're not doing anything. Yeah. But, those are terms that people use. I do call it the super conscious because it's actually so aware that the conscious, if the conscious mind can't pick up on it because it's too powerful. Like the conscious mind can only process 40 things every second. This superconscious mind is 40 million bits of information per second. And so the way it communicates is through feelings, intuition, literally like turning your head sometimes and look, I need to read that book over there. That has some answers that I could be looking for. Or somebody coming in into your life that all of a sudden, wow, this person's brilliant. I can learn a lot from them. But it's not going to be, we think that the conscious mind really is all we think we are, most people, right? Because it's what we're thinking our thoughts with. It's what we're processing information with. But you're way more than that. You're so much more than that. And your super conscious is always working for you. And if you go, well, wait a minute, why do I have pain? Why do I have illness? Because you program that into the superconscious and it's creating it. But if you start cleaning it out and start putting the right program in, it can do the exact opposite and actually bring the good things into your life too.
Yeah, so why not have this work for you instead of against you? I mean, why not learn the principles like you're outlining in the breakthrough code? You know, learn the principles that would activate this powerful force that will then regenerate not only you physically, emotionally, but also regenerate your whole environment around you. You know, whether that is, you know, financial, relationship, or whatever it may be.
Yeah, yeah. And I would just say one thing, it is always working for you. But you program it. If you program it with stress, you program it with thoughts of, you know, fear of illness and all sorts of things, it'll start creating that. Because it doesn't say, the superconscious doesn't say, hey, this is good for you, that's bad for you. It just says, what do you want? And whatever your thought process is, it'll go out and start to create that as your reality. So be careful what you think. And a lot of people, myself included, you know, I've noticed when I do have an illness or a sickness, it usually is a sign that I need a reprogramming, that I need to do things that are more pleasurable and fun, or even just add joy to my work. Because one thing I wasn't doing when I got chronic fatigue, I wasn't joyful in my work. I was like, all right, get this done. Now I got to do this, And then I would watch my wife, you know, my wife, Stacy, and I'd see her doing like a little text and she had this big smile. I go, what are you so happy about? Like, you're working. And she goes, yeah, that's fun. And I'm like, okay, that's not in my superconscious now, but I need to program that in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I love it. So are there limitations as to, you know, you're saying upgrade your story, upgrade your life. And so are there limitations? I mean, you have these people, maybe it's a nothing bad about Walmart clerks, but maybe some, you know, you have a kind of average life and you know, low paying job and, you know, you want to be a billionaire. I mean, is that a limitation? Is that too much? Or, you know, what are the limitations and, you know, how should you set your goals?
Okay. Yeah. Great question. So the subtitle of the book is how to live a life, a story about how to live a life without limits. So I don't believe in limitations, but I also know that if someone is in a, you know, low paying job and now all of a sudden they want to be a billionaire, it's possible they could do that in a day. Possible. There's a lot of shift that needs to be made though. And I'll give you a good example. Like, you know, some people, well, actually not the house I'm in now, but the house we owned before, we bought it from someone, actually not directly from them, but someone who owned it, but prior to us had won one of the lotteries. And they hadn't had a lot of money prior to that. They won one of the lotteries. They bought this nice house. And I think they bought a bunch of other stuff and eventually the house went into foreclosure and we didn't buy it out of foreclosure. Someone else did, but we bought it from that person. But why did that happen? They had a bunch of money. What happened? They had not developed themselves to be able to have that much energy. Money's just energy. I just like people haven't developed themselves enough to have that much health sometimes, right? They're not ready for it. And that's the shift that needs to be made. How long does it take? I don't know, right? Sometimes it may take years or decades to be able to make that shift where you accomplish something. And sometimes it happens a lot quicker, but I don't believe in limitations. I know there's things that people say are impossible and I'll agree they have not been done yet, but I will never say something's impossible because I've just seen too many improbable things that people have figured out. And too many incredible stories where people have done things where most people said, don't even try that. You know, there's no way you're going to do it. And they just did it. Now, not easy because you're creating a shift and shifting the mind takes energy, takes effort, takes consistency, takes sticking to it when things don't look good. That's a big one. A lot of people, you know, when they're trying to heal and they're getting, you know, all sorts of tests done and they're working with the mind and working with you. And then, you know, they get a test and the test doesn't show like everything right yet. They go, oh, it's not working. No, no, no. Keep going. Don't let that setback. Don't let that result cause you to not believe. Actually, if anything, go, all right, I'm going to believe even more. And what's the worst case that you know, that'll happen to you? I mean, worst case is maybe you don't get the result you want, but you'll still be a way better off than you would have been had you not taken this process and put it into action.
Yeah, like I can't remember which book it was, but talking about each failure increases the probability of success.
Yeah.
Meaning that, you know, you can only fail so many times. So that means that the next time I'm closer to success. So if you keep on pushing, then at the end of the time, at the end of it, you will have success. And so, and each time you're then refining your patterns, you're refining your processes, it's that cycle of improvement that you're doing to be able to find, you know, that the success to achieve what it is that you're looking for.
Yeah. You know, this is interesting. You keep inspiring new ideas in me, you know, things that I just thought of. So one thing that a lot of people in recent years, they say, you know, don't have any expectations. And I agree with that partly, but I disagree with it too. So I always want you to have the expectation, the belief that the result that you want is done. You see it done in your head, right? In your mind, you see it done. You know that this is your destiny, but the expectations on how it's going to happen, you don't need to have any of those, you know, because it's going to be, it'll look so different than what you think typically anyways, you know, like you're healing and all of a sudden you might have like a little setback. Well, you probably need that setback to even get stronger in your faith and your body, your immune system, the ability to heal. That you can use, right? You can use that setback, that evidence that might scare other people, use it just to be even stronger. But don't get addicted to the way that it has to happen. Get addicted to knowing that if you put your full mind, your superconscious mind into it, and you take the right actions, you will get a great result. Now, does that mean you're always going to get a great result? I wish it did, but probably not. There may be some times where you're just going to do everything right and not get it, but you're still going to be so much better off.
And I like, you know, I usually tell people the symbology of you're looking at a painting from afar and you describe the painting, you can't quite see it. And you say, that's an elephant. And that's your reality at that time. It's an elephant. And then you get a little closer. Now you start to see a little bit more details. And you say, it wasn't really an elephant. It was a mountain and it was this and that. And as you get closer and closer, you know, reality shifts and it becomes more and more real. You know, and that's a key, you know, the same. You can't really, it's not like you were wrong before, but it is as you then get closer to what it is that you're aspiring to. Yeah, it becomes more and more clear and more real.
Yeah, absolutely. Great stuff, Michael.
Yeah. And also I love with the expectation part. I mean, you have where you talk about systems, you talk about kind of tightly coupled and loosely coupled systems, you know, where your things are tightly connected. You know, you do this one thing and that's so connected to this and this has to happen because this first thing happened. But in loose systems, which is kind of what reality is, you know, things are very fluid. And so if you continually say that this is the way things has to happen, if it doesn't happen this way, then I'm not getting the results. Yeah. You know, then you are putting limitations on the universe or putting limitations on, you know, how things can take place. And you will then obviously reduce the likelihood of it, of you achieving the goal.
Yeah. Yeah. My belief is the universe is always working in your favor. There are going to be some crappy things that show up that you don't like, but that's when you got to get excited and figure out, all right, how the heck am I going to use this? I'm going to milk the heck out of this thing, right? That in the past I wouldn't have liked. And then all of a sudden, when you can start thinking that way, and some things are going to be harder than others to think that way about. Well, when you start thinking that way, you're unstoppable.
That's incredible. And I want to kind of get back onto your last point, you know, where mm-hmm. you You know, you have people that they're working hard, and they feel because they're working hard, they should be able to receive the result. But it's also then kind of leveraging your effort and knowing how to do that effectively. So what are some suggestions or guidance that you can give people in how to do that in their daily life, you know, whether it's for health, whether it's for business or whatever it may be?
So packing your day with effective action, there's two types of actions you can take. There's achievement actions, you know, working out, you know, eating right, things like that. And then there's recovery actions, getting enough sleep, getting the right kind of sleep, meditating, just having fun with your family. So everybody thinks it's got to just be, you know, action, 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 but the recovery actions are just as important for, especially for healing. There's a couple of habits that I think are really important. One is, if you're going to pack your day with effective action, don't be the only source of that action. And so one of the things I tell people to do is create a network of empowerment. Like, you're in my network of empowerment. If I need help in medical issue, I'll call you up, right? And go, hey, Michael, what do you think about this? Now, I could go do all the research on my own, but that would not be very effective, because you know way more, especially about certain things with health, than I'll ever know. I don't need to know all those things. Your network can also direct you in the right direction for other resources and help and things like that. So always be looking to increase, I call it, your network of empowerment. Create new connections. Find ways to add value. Don't create new connections by saying, hey, I need your help, right? That's okay. But create a connection by saying, how can I help you? Or just complimenting someone, or noticing something that they're wearing that's really cool, or something they did in their practice or in their job or in their work. So there's a network of empowerment that I have that pretty much can get me anything that I need: help, resources, capital, things like that. Now, it took years to build, but anyone can do that. We're never alone. We don't have to be alone. We don't have to fight anything on our own. We don't have to heal on our own. There's a network of empowerment that you can build by adding value to those people, and they're going to help you out. And make sure you're creating the right network, people that make things happen, right? The other thing that I would say, and this one is going to sound a little funny, but a lot of times in life, to be more effective, you have to do what you hate to get what you want. And maybe hate's too strong a word, but do what you don't naturally like to get what you want. And a great example is, one of the things that I had to get better at was meditating. I didn't like meditating. I'm like, I'm too busy. How am I going to sit and do nothing for 20 minutes, you know, twice a day or whatever? Now I can't not meditate. I mean, I'll be in one of those chairs probably after this doing my afternoon meditation. It's just such a function of what I do, but I hated it or disliked it pretty intensely when I first did. I wasn't good at it. And now I can get into a great deep meditation so easily, and I come back refreshed. But I had to dive into that, into something I didn't like doing, in order to get what I wanted, which was more health, happiness, joy, productivity. All those things came from me doing something that I naturally didn't like. Now I do like it, though. That's the thing. When you get into good, healthy things that you don't like eating healthy, like, I'll pretty much eat anything now if it's healthy, you know, green smoothie without much sugar or whatever in it. Like, hey, that gonna make me healthier? I'll do it. I've trained myself to do those things in order to be able to get what I want. And actually, I like the green smoothies and things like that now, which before I probably would have, you know, stiff-armed it away. Now I actually like that.
Yeah, and it's not like you're saying, it's not like you hate something. It's that you're getting out of your comfort zone. You're kind of expanding your ability to do things. And most of us, again, going back to that kind of limbic survival mechanism, we feel safer doing things that we are comfortable and know how to do. And obviously, when we do things that we don't know and that we're not feel comfortable, it's going to feel, I mean, we're going to want to reject that and stay away from that. But it's important then to really see that these are habits that people do that achieve what it is that I'm wanting to achieve. So then that would be a good habit to incorporate.
Absolutely. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Any kind of final things that you would say that, you know, these are, I'm obviously, you, these are your, the nuggets that you distilled in the Breakthrough Code, which is amazing. Any other nuggets that you feel that for people that are looking for regeneration, for kind of expanding who they are and living a fuller life, is there any other tip that you feel would be really powerful with everything that you, you know, all the people that you work with?
Yeah, I just, the thing that I would say, and I don't know if it's a tip or more of a belief system, but the people that are doing big things in life, they're no different from any other human being. They just think bigger thoughts and they hold on firmly to those thoughts and those beliefs, even when things aren't going well, and they find a way to prevail. And I think people give up so easily. I remember hearing a story about, who's the Canadian singer that, you know, she's she was in Vegas for a long time. Her name's escaping me. Celine Dion.
Celine Dion, yes.
Yeah, so she was like 12 years old. She believed in herself. And she was a singer up in Canada, and she made a demo tape, and she sent it to a record company in Los Angeles, thinking, okay, they're going to hear this tape. They're going to call me back. We're going to sign a deal. She's like 12, right? Very motivated, though. And she didn't get a call back. And so she found their number, the executive, and she called up and somehow got the receptionist or secretary to transfer her to this executive. And she said, you know, my name's Celine Dion. I sent you a demo tape, and I'm just calling back to see what you thought about it. Now, the person hadn't even listened to it yet, but they said, oh, yeah, no, we listened to it. And, you know, thank you for sending it, but we're not interested. Now, what would most 12-year-olds do? Like, probably when I was 12, like, okay, all right, thank you very much. Maybe I'm not that good. She's like, you didn't listen to it, did you? and the person said, no, actually I didn't, but I will listen to it now. And so her faith, her belief was so strong, this person went and dug it out of all the other tapes there, because I was like, this girl really believes in herself, this young lady. And listened to it, and then they signed her. So do you have that level of commitment? If you want to heal from something you've had for a while, like, you know, you've entrenched that old story in you, you've got to start digging it out, and you've got to be willing to do the work to do it. Yes, you know, go to Dr. Michael and get everything that they can give you that will support you and your body and your mind. Use your mind too, though. Use your mind. You know, be a co-healer with whoever you're working with by using your mind to make sure you're doing your part and not preventing the good stuff that they're trying to help you with from working. You can make it work even more powerfully with your mind.
I love it. Yeah, and that's exactly it. If you set your directions, then you know, all forces, and you just keep being relentless. You know, there's just no choice but winning.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. Yeah. And especially if they're working with you, they're going to win.
Likewise. Yeah. Well, I know they win with you. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Tom. This is awesome. This is incredible. You're doing amazing work, and you're changing the world. I love it. I love it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Michael. It really is an honor to be with you, and I look forward to seeing you again in person soon.
I look forward to that. This is going to be awesome. Thanks.